哎呀，到了。
Okay, I hope everybody had an inspiring Shabbos. Baruch Hashem, we have a full week of Lima Torah, and we're growing in Avodas Hashem, even higher and higher and higher. Sometimes we come here, we have a little bit of a break, so it takes a little bit of, you know, a little bit of time to get rolling right back into things. Let's try to see and minimize that transition time as much as possible. So we left off last week, we were talking about the halachas of tzitzis in this early part of our shiur. So we spoke a little bit about the beged of tzitzis. So there's one last halacha I want to just talk about the beged before we try to move on to the string, to the chutim. The Gemara tells us that the beged has to be a certain size. It has to be big enough for a child to wear and to cover the chaser rosh and rubush or katan. So it's not 100% clear how old this katan is. Usually the Rishon assume it means about a 9-year-old. What does that mean? What does that translate to mean, lamaisa? So it's also a little bit unclear. So the Mishnah Berurah gives you numbers in terms of amos. The problem is that we're not quite sure what amo, which size amo Shmuel is referring to, which, as I'm sure many of you know, there were many, many different opinions that have been done a poskim in the last 100 years or so, exactly how does amos translate into centimeters or inches. So the Mishnah Berurah speaks about, when you're wearing tzitzis, that the beged should be at least an amo in front of you. So the size of the amo should be, the size of the should be an amo this way, should be an amo this way. So the question is, what does it mean tafas? What does it mean practically? The Mishnah Berurah says even a little bit less than that would be good. So there are different opinions about this. When we were kids, they used to tell us 18 inches. Now, 18, less than 18 inches, gaval, that's no good. I'm not sure that's a lot of what you see that being a cool down for. I'm not sure. Bottom line is, you wear a nice size baguette. I'm not saying you have to wear a size 26 tizzes. Yeah, but, you know, those are a little bit smaller, 18, 20, 22, around, somewhere in that range. Once you're wearing, I imagine everybody here is probably wearing something that's close to that, so it's hard to say an absolute in stone what's considered to be a bare minimum, but you're trying to wear a little bit on the bigger end of tzitzis, but you don't say, according to all the opinions. There is a shaila in the poskim about the hole of the beged. Chazanish has a line that according to some, that Chazanish understood that according to some, that the side, the shoulder straps have to be bigger than the hole. Each strap has to be bigger than the hole. That would probably knock out, I'd say, probably 99% of the people's tzitzis in this room without doing a tzitzis check. So the minute I have most people make like the Mishnah Berurah make like the shoulder, make like that true. And those are mocking for the Chazon Ish. So they have these big fat shoulder straps, a little bit of a smaller hole. Anyways, again, bottom line is one should, you read a story by some nice men, synthesized pair of tzitzis. Okay, let's move on to what I wanted to begin to talk about, one of the most fascinating slash controversial issues, of course, the tzitzis, is the relationship between the strings of tzitzis, namely the lavan and the tcheles. So, of course, as the Torah tells us explicitly about the shlach, that you have to have two different kinds of strings. You have to have k'nap sil tcheles, and you have to have lavan, you have to have a white string. When you say white strings, so as we spoke about last week, either that means the color of the garment or some white strings. But everyone agrees you have to have tcheles and you have to have lava. Even though there are two components of the mitzvah, the Rambam says that the count is one mitzvah. It's a little bit tricky because generally in the counting of mitzvahs, so if you have, let's say, dalad minim, so each one of the dalad minim is ma'akev one another. If you have a mulva without an esrog, an esrog without an asim, etc., you wouldn't be into the mitzvah. So that's clear. That's absolutely one. It's not four different mitzvahs. It's one mitzvah. Therefore, the Rambam counts it as one mitzvah. When it comes to tefillin, since the Mishnah says that shel yad and shel rosh are not ma'akev one another, therefore the Rambam counts them as two different mitzvahs. So usually the rule that governs whether something is one mitzvah or multiple mitzvahs are the different components ma'akev one another. You have to literally have all four. So when it comes to tzitzis, so there was machlekes at Tanoim, whether tcheles and lover are ma'akev one another. So you don't have tcheles, can you still be yotzei the mitzvah? So we have the paskin, we'll see in a moment, we paskin that it's okay. We paskin that you still yotzei the mitzvah even without tcheles. That's the common paskins. So that's the case, that you yotzei without tcheles, so there are really two different mitzvahs. There's lover than there's tcheles. And the Rambam still counts it as one mitzvah. So that's a little bit startling. So that's the question I'm trying to figure out, why the Rambam almost like veered from his own rules. Why did the Rambam count it as only one mitzvah? But it doesn't make much of a difference for us. Halacha Maisa, it's not ma'achiv.
If we have something that's going to make a bracha on the tzitzis,
so So yes, that would be fun. I mean, it would almost be the similar as Shaliyat and Sharosh in a certain sense, which is also not clear whether you make one bracha, two brachas. We have to, I mean, most of us do make two brachas, but many Rishonim didn't. So we'll talk about that a little bit more when we get to Shaliyat and Sharosh. So again, it's a little bit of a tricky thing here. Counting of mitzvahs is always a little bit tricky because sometimes in the real world, not for me, know whether it counts as one mitzvah or two mitzvahs. Sometimes there is. So it's a little bit confusing. But the bottom line is, there is a machlokes at Tanoim whether Tchelis is ma'akev lovin or not. And Rubin the Rishonim, the Mamaja of the Rishonim Paskin, that Tchelis is not ma'akev. Anyone know who the one dissenting view was?
The Balamor
disagrees. The Balamor held that Tchelis is ma'akev. He Paskin like the view of Rubin Hanossi, that Tchelis is ma'akev. And because the Balamor held that Tchelis is ma'akev, he had a very, very startling practice.
He never wore tzitzis
in his life. The Ramban lived way after the Balamor, but the Ramban writes that we've heard about the Balamor never wore tzitzis, never wore talis kachet, never wore talis gobos, for very, very simple reason. If you hold that the tchelis is ma'akev, so then if you're kolzman, you're not putting on a four-cornered garment, you're not including the mitzvah. But the minute that you put on the four-cornered garment, you become chayiv in tzitzis, and if you really truly hold that tchelis is ma'akev, so then you're being mafatal the mitzvah. So it's better not to wear tzitzis altogether than to wear possible wear tzitzis. So the Balamor of the Shintasa who held that we follow the view that Tchelis is ma'akev never wore tzitzis. All those kids who don't wear tzitzis in the summer. The Balamor did. You have to rely on everything else the Balamor did also. The Balamor in 17 wrote the Balamor. So all the 17-year-olds are writing Balamors. Remember what Shefa said that. A lot of people very much, but the other guy brought the easy ones. You know, saying shvachuchah. You know, the things that don't cost you too much. Not say bracha viola. You know, the ones that had a cinch. There was another minigat brought. The minigat brought was used to learn 22 hours out of every 24-hour day. So that, I can't follow that. I don't follow that when I say shvachuchah, but I don't follow that minigat. You have to be careful with your teachers. So the bottom line is that the Balamor personally did not wear tzitzis, but the minigat is not that way. I hope the minigat not the way. The shvachuchah paskins. Nobody held that way long. Even though nobody accepted the view of the Balamor, there was a tradition with the Briskers, the Chaim held, that Mechayshesh for the Balamor Shita on Shabbos. The Gemara says on the Shabbos that if you wear a Degen, close by the tzitzis are kosher, so the tzitzis are not considered to be carried, it's just part of the Degen. But the tzitzis are not kosher, so they're not really serving a function, so then they're not considered to be vocal to the Degen, then it's considered to be carrying the Degen. But you have to be careful. You should always be careful with tzitzis kosher. You have to be extra careful on Shabbos if you go in a place where there's no Erev. So the Briskers were not exactly big, fond followers of Erevin for a variety of reasons. And all that Erevin are built based on certain shittas and based on certain kulas. I'm not saying they're good. But if you hold like certain opinions of Rishonim, it's going to be almost impossible to build an Erev in any large kind of area. So the Briskers traditionally do not carry pretty much anywhere.
You would hold that nowadays since it's kosher with the tchelis that they have now is not, and you're wearing that on Shabbos.
No, it wouldn't be kosher. We'll talk about that tomorrow about the quote-unquote tchelis for those who say we do. We don't have tchelis. Even if it turns out that it's not authentic, that doesn't ruin the tzitzis. It's still not worse than the bad of the old tchelis.
It's not like carrying the
strength. No. So the Briskers really had two chumras here. Number one, they wouldn't follow any of the Erevin, and number two, the Mechoshesh should have Balamor. So if you combine those two chumras together, so then you're going to end up with this phenomena. You're not going to sit this all together on Shabbos and outside. So they're going to wear a palace and sure, but they won't walk outside wearing the tzitzis. They won't walk outside wearing a palace in deference to what we do in Balamor. Again, the halacha, we don't follow that view. So the bottom line is that Tchelis is not an akei, that's what we pass it. But nevertheless, you should have it. Why shouldn't you do it? It's supposed to do it. So, even with Ben Chazal, we find that tennis wasn't always the easiest to get. The Gemara says that there was a whole counterfeit business out there called Kol Ilan. They used to, people wanted to sell cheapy imitation tennis. The authentic tennis was very expensive, so yet. So they put together this cheapy kind of tennis called Kol Ilan, and it wasn't always so easy to tell the difference. So even with Ben Chazal, you have this issue. Then somehow, after the period of the Gemara, by the time the Rishonim came along, so Tchelis seemed to have disappeared. That it was apparently too difficult to get for whatever reason. So the tchelis, the pashut ceased to exist. But in the days of Rishonim, we don't find anyone wearing tchelis. Shemunah for sure not. Nobody was wearing tchelis. For hundreds and hundreds of years, nobody was wearing tchelis. So what do you do? You can't do it. I was a poor pastor. I'm trying. So we can't do it. So we rely on the sheikhs that say it's not market anyway. So we do that, but we still spend it with tzitzis rather than not doing tzitzis altogether. That was the accepted halacha for 1500 years or so. Then back in Europe already, there was some who thought that they had discovered chelis. The Rezina Rebbe, so he had a whole story that he had thought that he had found something that was chelis. It turns out later that it wasn't authentic. The one that he had thought that he had found was not really, didn't really stand up to the test of what the chelis was. The Gemara says that chelis is not just a color, that's the cup of Mishinazo, that's some special kind of something around a fish, snail, depending on what you think it is. So in order for it to be kosher, what the Rezini Rebbe thought that it was, the Maisa turned out not to be so. I think the Rezini Chassid, my name is still wear it, but the Maisa, I think the Ruben, the people of later generations thought that it wasn't correct. So as Yadu was the last 30, 40 years or so a new chelis was discovered that caught the attention of many Gedolei Choskim, and there were different opinions about this. There were many who thought that this really was chelis. They were very convinced that this was the authentic chelis. There were others who were convinced that it wasn't the authentic chelis, and there were many who were in the middle. They weren't sure whether it was the authentic chelis or not. So which of course led to an array of different opinions in Klai, so what we should do about this. So anyone who really honestly truly believes that chelis, so of course they should be wearing it. Anyone who thinks the whole thing is all not true, so they shouldn't be wearing it. There's a little bit everywhere in between. Who's not really sure? It's hard to say. There are some interesting rises, and there's some people who shoot it and rising. It's hard to be the same.
When you say you think it's a chid, so it's kind of sounding like it's like subjective or something, isn't it?
No, it has to be the specific preacher, the kilozo of the preacher, which I now describe, in order for it to be kosher. It can't just be stab a color, it can't just make up a color blue.
So, isn't it it's either it's
no, no, no. We don't know whether we've identified these two laws properly. Like some people claim that we have, and they're not convinced that's the right one. So the mice, what do you do? It stalks over the bridge. So what do you do? So there are different opinions about this. So there were some folks who say, well, you have nothing to lose. You have to lose something that ISIS. So why do you do it? And others who say, no, we don't do things like that. Like, you don't, just because we're the latest software, maybe it's going to kill us. So that's not convincing enough reason to insist on wearing it.
A different
idea. There was a famous voice of the Beis HaLevi, the converted what the Beis HaLevi said, the slave was Rechaim's father. So there are some who attributed to the Beis HaLevi the statement that even if you theoretically discovered chelas based on scientific and other studies, unless you have a clear cut Messiah, unless you have a tradition that this is really authentic chelas, so then you don't wear that chelas. Now this question that Messiah, but the Beis HaLevi can set up. So there are different versions. What the Beis HaLevi did in the Netzach. As you can well imagine, I'm sure you all know, because there are different opinions out there, there are different practices of Chayas, so a lot of the others are. There's some Gedolei Choskim who insist on wearing chelis, as not as that, it's the suffix. There are many others who don't. So you should consult with your Rebbe, or your father, or your Kamei, or none of yourselves, and decide whether you're going to wear chelis or you're not going to wear chelis, okay? Again, we're not going to spend the whole summer going into the intricacies of Arayim, that's what I got. Look, I see books and articles and thousands of pages all over the place. You go to the Chelis factory, they'll definitely convince you one night, and then you go speak to somebody else, they'll convince you the other way. So I'm not going to sit here and spend the whole summer trying to convince you one way or the other. Okay, good. Very much said, but I will try to convince you how much you're going to be finished now. And get moving into, we have just a little bit left of the last figure. That shouldn't take us too long today, also I want to get into the introduction, so please get it, move ahead, in terms of a cash flow tool. Okay, thanks everybody for watching.